Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
So in the Bible, salvation is sometimes referred to as the new birth, of being born again or born from above. Christmas reminds us of God's grace in action, that we are saved by God's grace, by God coming into our lives.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Do you believe in miracles? Have you ever given much thought to how Jesus comes into this world? Today, we're taking a closer look at the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, the birth we're celebrating. So how is the eternal God going to enter time and space? Here's Pastor John Monroe with his message, The Birth.
At Christmas, we celebrate the arrival on this earth of the Son of God who was sent by his Father. How is the eternal God going to enter into time and space? Well, Matthew tells us in the closing verses of chapter 1, it was a supernatural birth. Our Savior enters the world as no one else has entered it. He enters it through a door marked No Entrance. Now, if you don't believe in miracles, you're going to have difficulty with this section. But if there is a God, he's a miraculous God. And certainly the conception of our Lord Jesus was miraculous. So let's meet some of the characters relating to the birth of Jesus.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe in miracles? Because our subject this morning reminds us that life includes the spiritual and the eternal. Do you believe that? We're going to think of the virgin birth, and the virgin birth reminds us that with God, nothing is impossible. Think of it, the message of Christmas is that the eternal God comes into time and space in the person of his Son, Jesus. That means that the supernatural God, the eternal God, is at work. He is alive. And I have to ask you, this past year, have you been aware of God working in your life? As you look back, are there situations that you can say, yes, God is at work, not just out there, but also in my life? After all, we're going to learn this morning that he is, our Lord Jesus, is Emmanuel, God with us. Or could it be that in your busy life, perhaps your difficult life over this past year, that you have in effect, practically, shut out the spiritual, shut out the supernatural? I'm asking you this Christmas to open your eyes, to open your ears, to open your heart to the living, eternal God. Let's stand and read our scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, read with me. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to meet three people, Joseph, Mary, and then our Lord Jesus. First, Joseph. We read about him in verses 16 through 21. And isn't it wonderful that at the birth of Jesus, Joseph acts with honor. Here are Joseph and Mary living in northern Israel, in Galilee, in this village of Nazareth. And Joseph is engaged to Mary. Both are probably in their teens, with Joseph likely to be a little older. And in that culture, the engagement was legally ratified and it was regarded as a binding marriage contract. It was not just a case where Joseph meets Mary and says, "Hey, you look cute, what about getting married?" That wasn't the situation. It was a binding legal contract, albeit in the betrothal, that's the word used in verse 18, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, the couple did not live together. And if the engagement contract was broken for any reason, it was referred to as a divorce, and that only for extreme circumstances. So this betrothal, this engagement, was to all intents and purposes like a marriage covenant, with this important distinction that the couple did not live together. Certainly the relationship between Mary and Joseph would not have been physically consummated during the engagement. So can you imagine? Here's Joseph. And can you imagine Joseph's pain, his distress, his humiliation, and his devastation when he discovers that his fiancée, Mary, that he thought was a pure, holy, honorable person, to discover that she is pregnant. He knows he's not the father. He's not been intimate with Mary. He's not the father. And therefore, some other man must have had intercourse with his fiancée. But notice verse 19. Matthew says that her husband, Joseph, was a just man. Joseph is a man of honor. He's a man of integrity. Interestingly, he never says one word that is recorded in Scripture. Matthew is giving the account of Jesus' birth from Joseph's perspective. Luke is going to give it from Mary's perspective. And Joseph, who no doubt loved his fiancée deeply, would have known that she was a holy woman. Hence his dilemma. Hence his confusion, his devastation when he discovers that this woman, who he thought was a godly young woman, was in fact pregnant. Now he does something quite remarkable, doesn't he? Rather than exploiting the situation, rather than trying to defend his own character or maligning Mary, verse 19 says he was unwilling to put her to shame. And he made a very important resolution at the end of verse 19. He resolved to divorce her quietly. And as Joseph no doubt is thinking through all of the implications of this, who now is he going to marry? What's he going to say to his family? What's he going to say to the people of Nazareth when they say, "What's happened? We notice that Mary is pregnant. What's going on here?" Scripture says, verse 20, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he's told something remarkable, something which must have blown his mind, that which is conceived in Mary, verse 20, is from the Holy Spirit. And he's then told that the name of this little baby boy, is to be called Jesus, verse 21, for he will save his people from their sins. We love that word, Jesus, don't we? That's his earthly name, by the way, Jesus. And that points to his greatest work, that is salvation. And so as the little boy is born in due season, he's given this name, Jesus, Savior. So every time Joseph and Mary said his name or shouted his name or called after him, they were saying, "Savior, Savior." That's what it means, that Jesus comes to be the Savior. I remember when I was about 7 years old in Scotland, we have what we call guising. I think it's the origin of what is called in this country trick-or-treat. Guising, coming from the word disguise, and children would disguise themselves and then go around the doors. But you didn't just get candy or fruit just for appearing at the door. This was Scotland, you had to work for it. And so you were expected to do something, to tell a joke, to sing or dance or recite a poem. And I remember as a little boy, 7 years old, I sang, this will stagger some of you who don't think I can sing, I sang at the door a song, a chorus I had learned in Sunday school. Some of you might know it. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save he came. And when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. That's what the angel is saying to Joseph. You're going to give him. Don't worry, Joseph. I understand you're not the father. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. But you're going to call his name Jesus, Savior, for he'll save his people from their sins. And this young man, Joseph, must have been overwhelmed by this. A man divinely chosen, a just man, a good man, a man of integrity, a man who obeys implicitly every time the angel tells him something to do, he obeys instantly. That's Joseph. And now Mary, verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, that's Isaiah. Matthew's going to quote from what we know as Isaiah 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife and knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Do you understand that Jesus is born of a virgin? And that the virgin birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy, as Matthew very carefully narrates. 700 years, 750 years before the coming of the Messiah, this prophecy is made that a sign is going to be given by the Lord. And God's prophecies are always fulfilled. That's why we can depend on the promises of God, that what God says, he always does. But how can a virgin be with child? How can a woman have a baby apart from the seed of man? There are many mysteries in the Christian faith, aren't there? And this sign points to one. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, not an ordinary son, a son who's going to be given this incredible name, Emmanuel. God is with us. See, Matthew wants us to understand something which we must understand, that the birth of Jesus was supernatural. Look at verse 18. It says they were betrothed, Mary and Joseph, before they came together. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Joseph, son of David, don't fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This little boy about to be born is no ordinary boy. Something out of this world, something extraordinary, something supernatural is going to happen. A virgin, Mary, is going to be with child, is going to bear a child. Do you believe this? Do you believe that this is true, historically true? I do. The virgin birth was a special and a unique act of the Holy Spirit, who achieves by a fresh creative act the beginning of the human life of the eternal Son of God. That's amazing, isn't it? That Jesus is born of a human mother but had no human father. No, Joseph is not the father of Jesus in the natural sense. The conception of our Lord Jesus Christ is unique. Our Lord Jesus Christ enters this world in a unique way, in a way which no one else has ever entered it. He comes in through a door marked no entrance. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That our Lord Jesus enters this world as no one else has ever entered it. You say, is that important? It's absolutely vital. Because if you know your Bible, if you know human nature, you know that every human being is born a sinner because of Adam's sin. Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how could it be then that a sinless man be born of a sinful woman? Now Mary was greatly honored, but she was not sinless. In the wonderful Magnificat in Luke 2, she refers to God as my Savior. No, this is the answer. Because of the unique birth of Jesus, the virgin shall conceive, he enters the world guiltless of the sin of Adam. That's why it's very, very important. We understand that Jesus was born of a virgin and that Joseph is excluded as a father. A couple of weeks ago when we thought of the genealogy, listen again to verse 16 of chapter 1. As Matthew narrates the genealogy of our Lord, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who's called Christ. Notice how careful Matthew is in writing. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the man we're talking about, the husband of Mary, yes, he was the husband of Mary, of whom, feminine pronoun, of whom, that is, of Mary, Jesus was born, who's called Christ. So Mary is the human mother of Jesus, but Joseph is excluded as the father. The great Apostle Paul, as he writes about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, makes a tremendous statement. He says, the first man is from the earth, earthly. Who's the first man? Adam. Where did Adam come from? He's made from the dust of the earth. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man, who's the second man? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul sees all of humanity under these two men, Adam and Christ. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthly. God made him from the dust of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Think of that. The second man is the Lord from heaven. In Jesus Christ, then, Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians 15 is that because of Christ, because he is the second man, there is the new beginning for all of us. He is the second man. Jesus is born of Mary, so that he's truly man, but he's born of God, the Holy Spirit, so that his humanity is truly new. Our Lord Jesus directly connects with the human race, but he doesn't share in the sin of the human race as he's conceived in the Virgin by the Holy Spirit. See how important this is? That's why we believe strongly in the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Gabriel, as he appears to Mary in Luke chapter 1, and she's saying, how can this be? How can I have a child? I'm a virgin. Gabriel, the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? And the virgin birth therefore reminds us, and we need to be reminded of this, that our salvation comes from heaven. The message of Christmas, in fact, the message of the Christian gospel, is that you can't save yourself. What's the answer? United Nations, NATO, America, the superpower? No. Every single person in this world, without exception, is a flawed human being. And you cannot make it to heaven on your own. This is why the gospel is good news. That Christmas reminds us that God has provided for your eternal salvation. And that it is not a matter of you trying to reach God. It is God who comes to us from heaven itself. Human solutions, human creativity, human ingenuity, human wisdom will not do it. These things left to ourselves will never solve our problem of sin, of guilt, of despair, of emptiness, of hopelessness, of our eternal destiny. No, we need divine help. We need a miracle in our lives. We need God with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. So that's why we strongly believe, contrary to so much of the self-help movement around us, that salvation is a supernatural act of God. That's why I began to asking you, have you ever experienced a miracle in your life? You're conscious of the power of God in your life. So in the Bible, salvation is sometimes referred to as the new birth, of being born again or born from above. Christmas reminds us of God's grace in action, that we are saved by God's grace, by God coming into our lives, not something that we achieve by ourselves, not something that we can boast about, not something which is given to us as a reward for what we do. No, it is totally of God. And you must be born from above. You must experience personally the life of God in your soul. That's why we emphasize the importance of a personal, living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. See, this new life, and the virgin birth is reminding us of this, this new life comes from God. Joseph, Mary, and now Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know Christ?
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're beginning a message titled The Birth. And there's still more to hear from John when he returns in just a moment, so keep listening. As a special thank you to our listeners, we'd like to offer you a free copy of John's brand new booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Deal with personal doubts and questions and be encouraged as you spend this Christmas season gaining a better understanding of salvation by grace. Download or request a mailed copy of this brand new resource when you visit us at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Did you know you can also find The Verdict online? If you're on any of the major social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just log into your account and search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day, everywhere we can, as we encourage others to trust and follow Him. But we need your help. We rely on generous donations from faithful listeners like you. And right now, you can give a special Christmas donation online when you visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're on our homepage, don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list. This will help you stay in the loop on our latest ministry news and updates. Again, it's all online at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe in miracles? Have you ever given much thought to how Jesus could come into this world? Being God, his conception could not be an ordinary one. The story of Joseph and Mary is intriguing, isn't it? I trust you believe in the supernatural, that you believe that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, may you personally receive him now, today. This Christmas, not only know about Jesus, but know him as your personal Savior and Lord.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.